WikiLeaks.
Blog Talk Radio.
As calling for strong U.S. action against Iran. And the commentary about that was interesting. It was almost euphoric. Isn't this wonderful? The Arabs support U.S. policy against Iran, which is true of the Arab dictators. At the very same time, Western polls were coming out, Western-run polls, showing that it's quite the opposite, that though, again, they don't like Iran, they're not regarded as a threat. The United States is regarded as a threat. And in fact, opposition to U.S. policy was so strong that a majority in some countries like Egypt, a substantial majority, thought that the region would be more secure if Iran had nuclear weapons. They don't want Iran to have nuclear weapons, but if the United States and Israel are have them and are there, that's what's needed. That was almost never mentioned. And that reaction is pretty striking.
And libertarians and the Black Caucus. And I'm really concerned now that conservatives don't see that turning to psychiatry yes. as a solution is ultimately totalitarian. They just don't see it.
Yes, yes. It really surprised me, and I felt that that was very, very dangerous. Why do you think that the liberals did not support you in that previous effort?
Well, I think it's a social control issue. I mean, it was very interesting. At one point, I found out that the Kennedy daughter had been lobotomized before anybody publicized it, and Ted Kennedy was fighting me on the lobotomy issue. Hmm. I actually threatened – oh, I was such a tough kid in my 30s and 40s. I threatened to – disclose photos of Rosemary, you know, in her hospital where she was being kept with the notes about her being lobotomized to force Ted Kennedy to have hearings on lobotomy. I think that in the liberal community, there are many people who do understand these issues, but there are many who so believe in psychiatry. You know, if you don't have a spiritual religion, psychiatry fills in your religion. Psychiatry says that we can tamper with the brain and make you better. We can find genetic causes which don't exist for mental disturbances. We can locate biochemical imbalances. It easily becomes a substitute ideology for believing we have free will, we have values, we have a soul.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a part of where liberals get caught, but many, many liberals support our work.
You know, it's interesting that you had mentioned that, too, that they see it as kind of a substitute for religion because actually, you know, psyche means soul. So, you know, essentially psychology actually meant the study of the soul for people who really didn't have any religious connection or couldn't bring themselves to see a God, you know. So that does become kind of their God, I guess. And they've got these different schools of psychology, which I guess are kind of like religious denominations. You know, are you a Jungian or are you a Freudian or what? I guess those are...
Well, right, David. And it's a state-supported religion. It's like...
Yeah.
It's like Catholicism in the 14th century, because you have your National Institute of Mental Health, which is fundamentally a support group for psychiatry. You have your FDA, which legitimizes psychiatric drugs, none of which are really legitimate. I mean, they're usually studied for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. They're completely controlled in the studies by the drug companies. So you have all these federal organizations, even the Department of Education has supported the diagnosis of ADHD and the drugging of children. So psychiatry can be viewed in some ways as a materialistic, state-supported religion. Now, that's not its intention. It's not how it thinks of itself.
Yeah.
But it sure is how it functions in many ways.
Boy, that is an amazing insight. I couldn't agree with you more. That's truly amazing. I want to continue talking to you about SSRI stuff when we come back. You know, one of the things that you mentioned earlier was the FDA cover-up of the drug trials for Eli Lilly and other companies that were making SSRI drugs. I mean, when you look at this drug approval process, a lot of times I think the FDA is so in bed with these drug companies that essentially what they do is give them their purpose is not really to protect the public, but to give them legal immunity in lawsuits. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. The FDA has yet to even study electroshock machines. They've given shock machines a free ride.
We were just talking before the break about how the FDA actually empowers and provides cover for drug companies, how they selectively cherry-picked their drug studies so they could get the results that they wanted. Dr. Bregan, in this last segment that we've got that's kind of short, I want to talk to you about the executive orders that Obama came out with as part of Obamacare. You wrote an article saying that his executive orders vastly empowered psychiatry and gutted patient rights. Can you talk to us a little bit about your concerns about the kind of mandates that are part of the Affordable Care Act, or as we typically refer to it as Obamacare, those kind of mandates and the effect that they're going to have against patients' rights and in favor of the psychiatric community?
Well, remember that psychiatric records are considered medical records. Therapy records are considered medical records. All of them are covered by insurance or will be eventually covered by insurance, or they'll have to opt out for privacy. And all of that is going to these central collection agencies, you know, that are sprinkled throughout the states to bring together all the data and to organize it electronically. There is no way that that's going to remain private forever. I mean, we have corporations being broken into. We have the Pentagon's computers being broken into. Yeah. There's no way that your health records are going to stay private. And you have to be really careful now about telling any healthcare provider anything personal about yourself, which is an absolute disaster. And
This is the Josh Tolley Show on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, I'm going to give you a website you got to go to. Grab this book. It's gopatrickmurray.com, gopatrickmurray.com. You can get his book there. Colonel Patrick Murray is who we're talking to today. And we're talking about the not only the conventions of states, the Article 5 issue, but also the larger issue of a growing threatening government. And, Colonel, in this last segment, I kind of want to talk a little bit more about that. This is something that a lot of people are concerned with based on past results from our voting. A lot of people are valid in their concern. And you, as a member of the military, took an oath to defend the Constitution from enemies both foreign and domestic. And the question I have for you, sir, is when do we start identifying domestic enemies of that Constitution?
Well, foreign and domestic is a important concept that we have to deal with. And I've spent my whole life, it never was an issue of domestic enemies. It was always foreign enemies. And this is something that, that people are concerned about. I talk about in my book that we have a weaponized government now, federal government, and a lot of internal forces that focus on we're talking about ostensibly regulatory agencies like the EPA and a lot of other agencies like that that actually have weaponized troops with weapons and authority right here in the United States of America. And that concerns me very much.
Well, and it should. I mean, and that's what some people are really getting alarmed by, and why there's such a disconnect, I believe, between the people and what they perceive as their effectiveness when it comes to the government that's supposed to be of them, by them, and for them.
Without question. And that's why things like this Jade Helm exercise has caused so much alarm, especially in those parts of the country where our troops are operating, just happen to be, I'm sure it's entirely coincidental, Josh, and that's my sarcastic voice, that they happen to be in areas that tend to be more Republican strongholds and conservative voters. I like what Governor Abbott in Texas said. He said, I'm going to mobilize my Texas National Guard, and we're going to monitor this whole thing and make sure that we've got visibility on what's going on. These things, if we had a Ronald Reagan, if this were 20 or 30 years ago, no one would think much about this. But because the government has gotten so big, so powerful, and so out of control, that is why things like Jade Helm give us cause for pause.
Well, you know, and you bring up a great point about if we went back in time, and it kind of shows that people's paranoia is well-founded. If we went back to World War II and there was a training exercise and the government said, hey, we have to get our boys ready for, the European front or whatever, there would be an embracing of Jade Helm, to be honest with you. There'd be signs out that says, you can get them, guys, and, you know, all that sort of patriotism. But because of the way the government has, in a sense, like you just kind of phrased in a different way, because of the way the government has at least started threatening America as its enemy, there is cause for pause. So do you see Jade Helm, and I'm not one of those tin hat sort of, you know, they're actually getting ready for a UFO sort of conspiracy guys, but do you see Jade Helm as a subtle threat to the American people because the location that they picked?
Josh, I that's such a tough question. I would like to think that it's not, because the reason that I would like to think that it's not is because it is our armed forces, and it's the same guys that I served with for a long time, the guys that took that same oath to support and defend the Constitution. And I believe that I don't believe that it's something that was going to impose martial law or something else like that. It's a 2-month big exercise, though, and if the government would just explain more what their goals are and what their intentions are and let a little sunshine into this whole thing, I think that would be very helpful.
Does it alarm you that this administration has identified veterans as possible terrorists? And does it alarm you that we have this idea that Americans are now suspect until proven innocent as opposed to innocent until proven guilty?
This government alarms me on a lot of different levels. And what just happened last month in Chattanooga, where we lost four Marines and a sailor, and it's a weapons-free zone in an Armed Forces recruiting center, are you kidding me? That concerns me, that we're not allowing those guys to opt to implement some very basic force protection for themselves. I mean, you go to Afghanistan, the one guy went through two or three tours in Afghanistan, Purple Heart, came back to his family, and then he drives down the road to go to work at his recruiting center, and he gets shot and killed. Those things concern me, because those things are fixable, easily fixable, and this government will not do that.
Do you think that since the government, and I'm going to kind of get to Paul's question just for time constraints here, do you think that because the government has gotten too big, too out of control, that the military arm of that same government that's out of control, it's actually in our best interest to kind of keep a check on its size and certainly location? Like, for example, it's kind of fairly well known and agreed upon in conservative circles that we should not have a government via the military in 160 nations, that we should reorganize, restructure this thing to be about defense and pursuing American interests as opposed to, or at least defending American interests as opposed to pursuing capitalistic interests in other nations. Do you think it's time we reassess the capability, strategy, and size of the military as well?
Well, we're constantly doing that, Josh. We're constantly, our armed forces are constantly reassessing the threat and trying to project what type, size, and structure of force we need in a year from now, in 10 years from now, in 20 years from now. And that's not easy to do, but they've frankly been doing a pretty good job of it. My biggest concern right now, and I mentioned this, I think, in our first segment, is the slicing and dicing of the military. 80,000 troops from the Army are gone, and another 40,000 are going away. We're losing the equivalent of almost two full budget cycles out of the military. And it's not as if peace is breaking out everywhere, is it, around the world? And that is the primary responsibility of the federal government, to provide for the common defense. And I know I hear this, too, that we have troops in like 160 countries. But the vast majority of that is a couple of Marines guarding an embassy. It's not like we have, you know, a whole division in wherever. We do have some of that in Europe and Korea, South Korea and Okinawa, but most of it is a few troops, like I said, maybe some Marines guarding embassies.
Yeah, but that, yeah, totally true. I get that. But we do have this influence in the Middle East that needs to be reassessed. I mean, that's just obvious. We have over 3,000 troops once again in Iraq. We have growing fingers in all of that pot, which just turns it into a mush of evil. We've added to the problem, not fixed it. Isn't it time we just say, okay, let's get out of here?
Well, I think at the point where we're at now, if we walked away, we saw what happened in 2011 when we walked away from Iraq. Something called ISIS metastasized over there, and they're getting stronger and more powerful. And what does a terrorist organization need in order to be effective? They need a base of operations from which to plan, to raise money, to train.
Yeah,
It's worse than that,
Colonel, and I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm just really running out of time. It's worse than that. We funded ISIS. We funded them when they were the Syrian rebels, same people. The founder of that organization was in an American prison. We cut a deal with this dude to take out the Syrian government, and then we get surprised and shocked when he takes that money and starts a terrorist organization. So, yes, there was a vacuum left. But then we filled it. It's not like this grew organically.
Well, I think that's I hear what you're saying. But at the same time, this guy, these are some nasty operators. They also have a whole lot of American equipment that they've seized from fleeing Iraqi forces. And that's a great concern to me. They're very, very liquid in terms of how much money they have. And they continue to sustain that with their oil. So I believe it's something we have to deal with.
Well, it's definitely something we need to address, because size of government includes all government. And I
It's time for another segment of What Would Jesse Ventura Do? Today, we're talking about conspiracies surrounding one of the largest domestic training exercises in history. Brigida, take it away.
Jade Helm 15, the two-month-long military training exercise responsible for launching a trove of conspiracy theories, is officially in effect. Right now, more than 1,200 U.S. troops are training in 7 states. According to the map, specific states have been deemed hostile, permissive, or uncertain for the purposes of the exercise. Hostile areas shown in red include Utah, Texas, and a small portion of California. The official Army press release reports that the diverse terrain in these states replicates areas Army Special Operations soldiers regularly find themselves operating in overseas, places like Afghanistan or Iraq. The exercise, the Army says, is routine training to maintain a high level of readiness, since Special Forces must be ready to support potential missions anywhere in the world at a moment's notice. During the 8-week exercise, soldiers will develop tactics, techniques, and procedures for emerging concepts in special operations warfare. From a military standpoint, Governor, what do you think about this training exercise?
I think it's a lot of BS, and I'll tell you why. We've already got the terrain inside military bases all over this country. All of this could be accomplished on legitimate military bases inside U.S. government controlled property. I think that it definitely is to get us used to a military presence amongst us on a regular basis so that we're comfortable with it and we accept it. And it goes back to the Defense Department bill of a couple years ago that John McCain and Levin of Michigan put this amendment on that allows the U.S. military to operate anywhere inside our country and our borders. So they're now free to do it. Now, are they preparing for martial law? I don't know. But there's something fishy about this whole operation if they're not on government property. Because I spent 6 years in the Navy, and we didn't operate out on civilian property. We operated on government property all the time.
Okay, well, while the military maintains Jade Helm is a standard training exercise, conspiracy theorists like Alex Jones and other Americans have expressed skepticism over the government's true intentions in implementing such an exercise. Roughly 3 weeks before Jade Helm began, a joint poll conducted by the University of Texas and the Texas Tribune reported that nearly 44% of Texans believed the federal government was likely sending in troops to impose martial law. 43% also said they believed the federal government would confiscate their firearms. The Daily Texan outlines other conspiracy theories blaming the federal government for the shutdown of Bluebell creameries and the unusual amount of rain Texas got this year. There's even a theory that several recently closed Walmart stores are being set up as prisons to lock people up in once Jade Helm establishes martial law. What do you think about these theories, Governor? Do you think there's any credibility to any of them?
No, not very much. That's also done like a false flag operation. Conspiracy theorist and critical thinker should be synonymous with each other, because a conspiracy theorist generally is a critical thinker. Anyone that questions anything that our government tells us or the answer they give us on any topic, if you try to delve into that and find out about it, you will be labeled a conspiracy theorist. And let's remember something before you lump in the word conspiracy theory and that it's bad connotations to that. Generally, when the government gives you an answer, like on 9/11, all they did was give you a conspiracy theory. There is nothing wrong with the word conspiracy theory. Conspiracy itself is simple. It means more than one. That means if two people get together and conspire, that's a conspiracy theory. All it takes is two, more than one. This operation out in civilian life, I believe it's there. The government also likes to prepare you, get you ready so that things don't seem unusual to you. I think this and what happened in Boston at the Boston Marathon were both for the same purpose, for us civilians to get used to a military presence among us. That's what they're laying the groundwork for, so it won't be such a big shock to us when and if it does happen. You notice I said when or if it does happen.
So far, Texas papers are reporting that the start of Jade Helm has been anticlimactic. Conspiracy theorists often get a bad rap for their ideas, but Slate's Justin Peters says they actually do have a point. He says Jade Helm is, quote, a drawn-out, expensive military training simulation ostensibly designed to train soldiers to fight in wars this country shouldn't be fighting. And he says it's, quote, supervised by a marginally accountable and lavishly funded defense department that can afford to dick around in the desert for 2 months while countless other federal programs and agencies struggle to make do with their meager allocations. What do you think about Justin's opinion? Is he onto something?
I think Justin's right on. We spend more on defense than the other 25 nations combined, and 24 of those nations are allegedly our allies. You know, the Defense Department rolls in money. They don't even have to account for it. Look at all the money they've lost in Iraq that they can't account for. Look at all the money they've lost in Afghanistan that they can't account for. These are all our tax dollars, people. And the Department of Defense is haphazard with it. They spend it like a drunken sailor out on liberty. They don't care. They're not accountable. And they got an unlimited wallet, because anybody that goes against defense spending in the United States of America is considered un-American. Why? Because we are the country of war. We are the country that lives by war. We are the country that has our entire economy seems to be war-based. And so it's natural that the Department of Defense could go out and waste their money on an operation like this. Obviously, they're preparing to stay at war in other foreign countries. How about bringing the boys home? How about protecting the United States of America? And then you don't need to go practice in parts of the United States to prepare you for doing something that isn't in the United States, that's overseas, that we have no business in the first place. We've spent $1.7 trillion on the war on terror since 9/11, and we have nothing to show for it other than we're in worse shape now than we were then. And let's face it, people, rah, rah, we're the United States of America. If you don't agree with us, we'll kick your ass.
All right, let's turn to our vigilant viewers to find out whether they think Jade Helm is a conspiracy theory or a legitimate training exercise. Ronan Hawes from Facebook says, I really don't know what everybody is all up in arms about. It doesn't matter which side is correct. America is already a police state and has been for a very long time.
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to argue with that when you watch what's going on in this country. when you see police officers systematically killing hundreds of people every year for crimes that are not death penalty crimes. He's spot on with that, I think, you know, that we already are at that stage, only we just simply have blinders on and don't want to admit it.
Jason Halley says, I believe the purpose is to get people accustomed to seeing armed soldiers as part of everyday life, possibly for false flag incidents.
Well, not necessarily for false flag, but he might be right, maybe for them. But I think his first statement's dead on. They want us to be accustomed to seeing the military amongst us. Like when you go to the shopping mall or you go to other places that you normally go to see military there armed and weapons around, they want us to get accustomed to that, something that the United States has never before had happen. But thanks to Johnny McCain and Carl Levin, who put that amendment onto the defense bill, it's now a reality.
Patrick Sullivan says, Jesse, I come from a military family. Also having served myself, Jade Helm is just one of many military exercises our armed forces take part in. It's only because this particular one is held on U.S. soil, the conspiracy nuts are all losing their minds over it.
When I was in the military, we didn't go out into the civilian area very often to operate, and I was a member of the special forces. We still did all our practicing on U.S. government military property. This is all new, going out amongst the populace and practicing. And trust me, it's being done for a reason, and I believe that reason is to get us comfortable. So I disagree with him coming from the military, because we never practiced on anywhere but military installations my 6 years that I was in.
All right, Shell Shock TV says, no doubt it's real, but not sure of the severity. If anything, it's a psyop to get people used to seeing military on the streets.
I agree wholeheartedly. It's to get you comfortable with it. Just like people are now comfortable being patted down, this is the same thing. They're now getting you accustomed to seeing the military out in the civilian lands of America on a regular basis so that you won't feel uncomfortable with them when and if the need arises that they will be out there hovering over you.
Jay Fallon says, standard military operation. You know how these work, Governor.
A standard military operation is generally, when I was in, was done on a military base. And we got plenty of bases that look just like the Middle East. We got plenty of bases out in the desert. Why do they need to leave their bases to practice? After all, on their own bases, they can use live ammo. I don't think they're going to be using live ammo when they're out amongst the civilian population, are they? So wouldn't the operation be more authentic if you're in a place you can use live ammo? Or are they planning on using live ammo anyway? Be sure to sound off at aura.tv/off the grid, because I want to hear from you. And don't forget to check out the website for daily articles and videos from me, Jesse Ventura, as well as my off-the-grid contributors. That's all on aura.tv/off the grid. See you next time, and remember, people, stay vigilant, keep your eye on Jade Helm, and let me know what you see. Tom Jefferson told you to do that.
Military training exercises known as Jade Helm 15 are going on right now across Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Florida. About 4,500 soldiers are participating. The military is not allowing the media to watch the exercises. They're keeping the training under wraps, and that's led many Americans to believe that their own military on their own soil is up to no good. Like the three men in North Carolina who were just charged with conspiring to arm themselves with illegal explosive devices.